Let's go back to Hebrews. Hallelujah. Boy, am I having a good time. Hallelujah. Ninth chapter. And we'll kick in at the 23rd verse. And then we'll be on John 8 again, and then Ezekiel. And this time, we're going to make it to Genesis, because this is just review. In the 23rd verse, passing in review. It was therefore necessary that the pattern or the copy or the figure of the things in heaven should be purified with these. Speaking of sacrifice, animal blood. But the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ entered not the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true. That is, the pattern. The figure of the true was made with hands. But Christ entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered or continued to offer himself year after year since the beginning. Or the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he's not been offered since the foundation of the world. He only came once. Just one time, retrospective. It took the entire future in. But notice his coming was so final, that he called it the end of the world. Now this final place that he's talking about, I understand the fact that I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But the depth that the fall and the curse reached, he said the ground was cursed. I mean, when this thing is over in the last dispensation, the elements is going to pass away with the fervent heat. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. When the ocean yields her dead, and hell and death and the grave and the great white throne judgment, everybody is going to be told why they're where they're at. Not only that, God is just and justified in every judgment he's forced to render. There's nobody that'll go back. Not to the hell. Nobody that he will not be able to explain to you. Your hour of visitation and your way out of your problem. Well, they was on an island where they never heard this one person lift their face to heaven and says, I want to know the truth. He would have translated another Philip in a moment. This place is so final, for the old things has passed away, that you and I have become citizens of the kingdom, and we live in a natural world that's subject to natural law, but we serve the Spirit. We serve the one who is the Father of all natural law. We're not its servant, it's our servant. He so ended the world that day when he died. It carries into the dispensations to come. And at the great white throne, he says, God just looks. He looks one look into the universe and it flees away because it's replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. And all the other one came to a central end somewhere in this entire universe when one man, the Son of God, died and ended it so it could yield up another one. And that place is where you leave your prayers. My God, to think they wouldn't be answered. Whew. I bet you think I thought about the prophesying. I've been prophesying more and more out of this place. That see, the difference in it now. The difference in it is the Holy Spirit has taken the love of God and magnified that love in my nature that's caused me to understand how God operates within, out of the love that's in His nature. Prophesying more and more out of a place of peace. A place called down. A place where God changes things. Because the things that shouldn't be, He ended them right there, if you can believe it. Your old man, he died right there. Your diseases, they died right there. Your defeats, well, you can walk into a thicket of jungle with a witch doctor's face painted white and a machete made in Taiwan. And if you can receive it, He can't kill you because you already died. You say, well, Brother Roberson, when should I go over in a place like that? When you're ready. Otherwise, you might leave the planet there. I'm prophesying, praying, leaving things. Why? Because He said once, this man doesn't have to offer himself since the foundation of the earth. God formed it, put us on it. The fiery center, the axle, the poles. It had to die year after year. He said, but not this man. Once at the end of the world. If you can believe it, it all ended there. Isn't it interesting, 2,000 years after Adam, the flood ended it. 2,000 years later, the cross ended. So we understand then that everything that's here is a copy. It's a pattern. He was talking about redemption, thing made with hands. But Jesus says He had to go into heaven Himself to purge the things that all of this was a copy of. So one more time, wouldn't it stand to reason that our house, this planet, started out the Garden of Eden, going to end up with something a lot more elaborate than that. Boy, you're going to be 33 years old and a glorified body, good looking. We'll have all our hair back, our pear shapes will be back. Not a turned over pear either, we're talking about. Well, anyway. Yeah, a balanced pear. Upside down pear. That's it. Hey, we'll have all of it. When you see old men with sticks and prophets running around heaven, they're not old. He was cut off at 33. You'll not get a day older. Substitute cut off. Why? You won't age beyond that. But what most people hate about it when they find it out, He said they never married nor given in marriage in heaven. But in that aspect, they're like the angels. You look really good, but you're not going to marry. Yes. Moving right along. So, since the things that had to be redeemed was a copy, a figure, a pattern, then wouldn't it stand to reason that the house we live on is a copy? It's just a little house, exactly like His. So why wouldn't there be a garden that He lived in? And when He called Lucifer the anointed cherub that covereth, and He put Adam in the garden to dress it, the thing that Lucifer covered was the garden. So at this point, let's go back there. And let's look at God's house for a minute. Ezekiel. Thirteenth verse. Now once again, passing in review briefly. God was prophesying to Lucifer. And usually He would identify the seat of operation, or that is where Satan was operating out of here, such as He prophesied in this last century. He would have said, Oh Lucifer, you know, I know where you're at, Hitler. That's the way He would have talked. Just like He's talking here. In other words, He's saying, Satan, I know where you're at. Because in the ninth verse, He says, Wilt thou say before him that saith thee, I'm a God and no man, at the hand of him that slays thee? And then you get in the 13th verse, and He's still prophesying. He's saying, Look, thou hast been in the Eden of God, or the garden of God. And every precious stone was your covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared for thee in the day that you were created. Thou art the anointed cherub. The anointed cherub that covereth. And of course, if He's going to underline anything, I don't. Underline the class of angel that He was. A cherub. Cherubim. That art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until this time. And until the time that He said iniquity was found in him. Now, why wouldn't God's house be like ours? And why would the creation be so much different then? The anointed cherub that covereth, I'd always wondered. I just wasn't to the place to understand it yet. I always wondered, what did He cover? And knowing that those pipes was His ability to worship or lead it, I thought that He went out and covered the universe and He opened creation up to worship. That's partly. I mean, that's true. It's true. But the thing that He was really covering was the garden, the anointed cherub that covereth. Whatever His description was, it must have been incredible. But when God built our house, I mean, the design of it sounds the same. So close. Especially when He's through. And we see things that are coming. Things that will be. The new heaven, the new earth. The holy city. Tree of life, the river. Everything's so close. Why wouldn't our house, if we're His sons and daughters, be like His? When He placed Adam in our garden to dress it, to cover it. It's the same reason that He placed Lucifer, cherubim, archangel class, to cover His house. Well, this is amazing. There's only one origin for iniquity. And that was with Satan. I wished I had some idea how old this creature was. But in combating with him, the wisdom he has, the way he operates, I'd say we're dealing with somebody that's very lethal. He terminated the first creation in 2,000 years. And if we don't do something, he's going to have more people than we do. He's about to terminate this one. He's lethal. God only knows if it was millions of years that he was with him until the iniquity was found. But I do know when Satan went after us, he already knew from holding the positions he held and what he covered, what we were worth to God, who we were and what we were to him. And he mostly knew because of the difference in our creation. When God called us sons and daughters, I know that Satan understood there was something different about us. And when he instigated the fall and carried it out, that the one thing he knew, that if God could come after us and get us, if he could, that Satan knew that whatever God used to come after us with, there wouldn't be a better way. You think God does something secondary? Do you think that he looks at it and he doesn't have the ability to see if it's perfect? See, this Lucifer knew about God. So when he came after us, he knew there could be no other way. There was no better way. When Jesus wrestled through that moment, when you wouldn't even want to know the forces of hell that was in play at that moment. And that was in the garden when he wrestled through it. And as you know when I slipped into the Spirit and started prophesying, that you know that that moment he wrestled in the garden, and he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And you know as well as I do, there's not a prayer that Jesus has ever uttered that wasn't answered by God. You know that. This one was too. He said, if it's possible, that's the opposite of impossible. It meant, God, you have to exhaust yourself. Let this cup pass, but only if there's another way you can save mankind. You have to know God answered that prayer. 10 billion equations at the speed of a nitrogen-cooled computer. The only thing that would have been damaged is you and I. We'd have to lose something. We wouldn't come out as sons. There wasn't any other way. None. You think the devil didn't watch him? He knew that all he had to do was study how God went after you and counterfeit him, and destroy you with religion, give you another way out. Unbelief. Unbelief, not even making it past, wanting to sell out. You can go into where those things talk about. Won't even try, because don't even have enough faith to believe that if I even tried, I'd ever go anywhere. Whew. Hallelujah. He's lethal. He's satanically wise. He's been around a long time. He's a murderer from the beginning of our creation. Full of iniquity, a liar, the the father of it. There's no truth in Him. None. He comes into your presence. He only does it for one reason. In three parts: to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not good at anything else. He doesn't do anything else. All He does is kills. And everybody that's misjudged Him. So what did the Holy Spirit come for? To substitute truth for you so that if you didn't know any, He could say, "Oh, it's okay, I'm God, I'll just take care of it." No, to teach you what God said so you could believe it. Known anybody full of the Holy Ghost die of a disease? He didn't fail in His job. Listen, if your brain was power plants, I can hear it working. What do you got to say in all of this? This man only had to offer himself once at the end of the world. But that is 2,000 years ago. My old man ended there. My defeat ended there. My disease ended there. This planet is collapsing into a finish. It ends there. Everything is ending there. And guess what? I'm not going to wait till everything's handed to me to operate out of the victory He got for me there. Hallelujah. This town is my home. And I'm not going to let the devil have it. He's supposed to say without a fight. No. Not going to let him have it without a fight. There's no fight to it. He's already been defeated. I'm just flat not going to let him have it. So let's go to John, and we just have to look at the termination just one more time here. John 8 chapter. 32nd verse. Jesus was speaking to the Jews, and some of them believed in Him. And when they did, He said in the 32nd verse, He said, "And you'll know the truth. Truth will make you free." And that got a response out of them. They answered Him, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man." He said, "How can you say that we'll know any truth and it'll make us free?" Jesus answered him, says, "Look, whosoever commits sin, he's the servant of it. Don't care if you are Abraham's seed." But notice verse 35. "And the servant, he abides not in the house forever." In other words, the slave of the household, the hired servant, he's not going to inherit the house. Only the son will inherit the house. And so they might be Abraham's seed. He might be under the law. They might be under all those things. But as long as they have a nature of sin, they're not going to inherit the house. He said, "You'll know the truth and it'll make you free." And this is the truth He was talking about. Jesus, being the master teacher, usually did not outline a problem without outlining the answer. So He was talking about the truth they would know would be, they'd be born again and set them free from sin. They'd receive a new nature and become the sons and daughters of God. How do you know that? Simulation, meditation. How do you know it? Moving on. Now 34 again, Jesus answered, "Truly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin, no matter who you are its servant. And the slave abides not in the house forever." It's the son that inherits. The son will abide forever. Ooh, notice 36. "If the son," there shall, I can hardly say it. "If the son, therefore, shall make you free." Talking about being born again here. you shall be free indeed. Then he made reference to the nature they had. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And this Abraham did not. He couldn't because he didn't know it. He knew what was revealed to him. That's why he said, you'd have done the works of Abraham. He says, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're spiritually dead. You don't have a capacity. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you'll do. But I like it because when he got off on this teaching thing here, it's where he opened up the other for me. I just love it. He was a murderer from the beginning. And passing in review, what beginning? It said he was perfect first. So he couldn't be a murderer from his beginning. What beginning? Whichever beginning he's talking about, he says, you're your father the devil, the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Not the father of liars, but the father of it, or whatever caused lying to come into existence, iniquity. Isn't this interesting? So the beginning he was talking about could not be the beginning that we've been talking about for months. It couldn't be the Genesis beginning. The one John talked about in John 1 and 1. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was in the beginning before you and I. Anything we know to exist had to begin. Our creation, our planets, our Milky Ways. That's our creation. He existed eons before that beginning. The beginning he was talking about was ours. And he was already a murderer when he came into our creation. Now just look around you. Look at religion. Look at what's been robbed. You're going to let him rob you from what you can walk into. Look around you. You think you're not up against something that's older than our universe. And why God came to tell you, when I teach you truth, I come and personally do it. And I come to live with you in the person of the Holy Spirit to teach you who you are. Because that's where your victory is based. Who are you? And what have I put at your disposal? Who are you up against? And how wise is he? And what are you doing? Who are you leaning on? And whose wisdom are you seeking? Look at the substitute he's answered. Look at the alternative forms of religions he's turned to. Look what he's done. In reincarnation, first the devil tells you, you're not good enough to see God. And it's okay if you die and resurrect. Enough reincarnation. Keep coming back. There's something else. You've had past lives. Eventually, you'll earn an audience with God. First he tells you, gives you a death nature. Then tells you that you can't live according to it. And sells you some form of religion that sends you to hell. Who are you up against? Well, whoever he is, you're well equipped to handle it. Jesus. Isn't it something? You talk about a nursery.
well, I can't read, and I don't have a Bible. You got me saved on an island, and I don't know nothing. I've ever, never known nothing.
Says, okay, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for you, He'll bring a language from heaven to do all your praying for you. I can make it any easier. Not only will God originate your prayer, but He'll answer it after He passes it through the authority you have and prays it. What do you want? So this thing came into our garden. The teaching I'm writing on now, it'll be going out in a month or two. It's the ark. Whew. Boy, I can hardly stand this. You know what it feels like to have Him start answering those mysteries that you're praying in the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden He'll turn Himself on and collect everything you know and bring it together to make you understand something else. If your foundation's right, He'll never stop building your house. You think put His foot on the moon, or who was that that first man? Armstrong. Thank you. You think it's exciting to make the first footprint on the moon that a human being has ever made? You think that's exciting? How about opening up some truth that your generation may not have known? Let's go to Genesis. Do you think the devil's happy with this stuff? Mm-mm. He's always trying to interrogate me. Why don't we look at this second chapter, 7th verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Of course, he found himself to be a spiritual being with a physical body living through a soul. God's not dependent on air. That's a creation of His. He's not a codependent. He doesn't breathe something He created. He was spawning a spirit inside of this man. He would call him his son. In the 8th verse, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put man in who He had formed. And I really like that. That word formed, that's the same as telling you that He took a single strand of DNA. He used the blueprint to form the man. He says, and out of the ground made the Lord God every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And He says, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want you to catch the wording on this. The Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden. There He put man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. And then He pauses right here. He says, the tree of life also, like in conjunction with what was going on over there, this tree also came into the garden. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And this one is on this side of the fence also. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now there seems to be a pause between the trees that were good for food, good to eat, made them for food, caused them to grow out of the ground. And then He says, and the tree of life also. So he put them into another category here. He said, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And thence it was parted and become four heads. Piason is the name of the first. Compassed the land of Havilah. And they said, there's a lot of gold there. Still there, probably. The gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone. And the second river is Gihon. The same as it compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which it goes toward the east to Assyria. And the fourth, isn't that one we hear the most about, the Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. So Lucifer being what? The anointed cherub that covereth. Let's go to the end of this third chapter for a moment here. The third one. This is after they fail. I just want to look at what he said for them to leave you with something here. 20th verse, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means life. Because she's the mother of all living. Okay. Want to know where every human being came from? You say, where did the sons and daughters get their women? She's the mother of all living except everybody came from her. She came from Adam. We won't get into that again. I won't even finish reading this. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Means life unto Adam also. And to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And this was the first animals to shed their blood. Something had to die for such a basic need like that to be met. First sacrifice. In the 22nd verse, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. So when the devil used that as bait, he wasn't lying. He said, you'll become as gods, knowing both good and evil. And so God consented that that had happened. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us. He knows both good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now people, sometimes they will think that this means that they just inhabit the earth and just keep living like they were and living like they were and living like they were. But what would happen is they would live beyond their body. And in a spiritually dead state, they'd go into incarceration with no redemption. Like at the end of this dispensation. They wouldn't hop around on this planet killing each other for eternity. I mean, how could they kill each other? No. Whatever happened there, if they ate of the tree, whatever happened, it would have caused them to live forever in an unredeemable state. It's hard to imagine that you'd walk over to some kind of tree and pick the fruit off of it, eat it, and would cause this to happen to you. But notice again, and the Lord God said, behold, a man has become as one of us. So Satan wasn't lying in his temptation in this part. He said, you'll be like God, you'll know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, Adam, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man He placed east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, Satan class, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way, the tree of life. I'll leave you with this thought. What were these cherubims doing there? Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered. These angels were of his class, his stature, his power, even before he fell. The anointed cherub that covereth. Why did he have to place these at the tree of life to keep us, Adam, from eating? Isn't that amazing? I mean, Adam's this little spiritually dead guy now. Why did he need these angels? See, it wasn't just to stop Adam from gaining access. It was to stop Lucifer for gaining assets for them. Because once they become accountable for evil, he wanted them to go ahead and commit whatever they committed to seal their doom forever and ever and ever. Whatever it was, Lucifer committed it. That's why there was no redemption for him, nor a third of the angels that did the same thing. What makes you think it was so much different in his garden than this one? We'll stop there.